Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show podcast. Think of it like a magazine or a box of chocolates. You never know what you'll get. From politics to pop culture, healthcare to legal issues, it's all here. And my behind-the-wheel chats are personal observations created especially for you on podcast only. Enjoy.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weight loss. That's plushcare.com/weight loss. plushcare.com/weight loss.
And welcome back to the show. One of the things that I feel that I have been fundamentally, profoundly changed by as a result of being your host on this radio show is that I found out through guests, through people far smarter than I, that lighting up our night skies is one of the main contributors, not the sole, but a significant contributor to millions and millions of bird deaths every year. Not only does it contribute to bird deaths every year because the birds lose their way on migration, and sometimes they will fly around a lit building at night until they die of a heart attack and just drop dead. But also, if you think about the nocturnal creatures, think about when you're on your road at night and you put your headlights on and there's a little opossum crossing the road or a raccoon or some other scurrying creature, that when we light up our skies to create an artificial planet that is in keeping with our fear of darkness, we are in fact dramatically changing and hurting the untold species of life that function in a nighttime environment. Not to mention the impact that we know that light pollution has on human beings, because as much as we want to stay up all night, the science shows that it's not very good for us. So we have a movement in Connecticut, and I'm really proud of the movement. And we've had a chance to interview our next guest, Meredith Barges, before, and Leo Smith before. But we are going to continue on the Lisa Wexler Show to, you should excuse the expression, shine a light on this, because I feel it is one of the most significant underreported issues that we can know about and do something about ourselves as we control our own home environment. Joining us now is the leader of Lights Out Connecticut, Meredith Barges. She launched this movement in February of 2022. She's a candidate for a Master's of Divinity at Yale Divinity School, clearly a very spiritual person. And Leo Smith is with us as well. Leo Smith is somebody who is a very prominent member of the International Dark Sky Association. And as an engineer, he has been very instrumental in telling communities how they can do better. Leo and Meredith, welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hello. Thanks so much. Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Sure. So, Meredith, my question for you first, let me begin with you, is we are now in the first real year after Connecticut passed our own form of a lights out bill, which took the first step in that it required Connecticut government buildings to go lights out between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. during migration patterns. First of all, was this enforced? Did the state of Connecticut do what it said it was going to do? Do you know?
Well, the law took effect January 1st, and okay, it's really a one-of-a-kind law. We're the first state in New England to have a dark a lights out rule in place. And what's so interesting about the law is it's for birds. It says that right in the bill, in the name of the bill. It was up to each agency to determine at each building which lights were essential and needed to be left on and which ones could be safely turned off. So it was really an agency by agency decision. They took their own initiative to decide, you know, what standards they were going to use. So we're going to see different levels of compliance, probably what we think they can turn off versus what they think that they can safely turn off. So we'll just have to see how that plays out as this law, you know, gets fully carried out across our state.
So you're watching them, and do they have you to talk to? Like, is it an ongoing conversation?
It hasn't been yet, but an important role of nonprofits like Lights Out Connecticut is to help monitor the implementation of a law like this. So it's going to take some time probably for them to fully, you know, get on board and to understand what the law was trying to accomplish and what they can still do. There's always more that we can ask them to do because of the way that the law was written.
Okay.
It was written
exclusively for buildings that Connecticut owns. But does it apply to UConn?
It should, yeah. Any state-owned building, with the exception of the Capitol building.
Okay.
So it's any state-owned building should comply with that. They should be following that rule of any unnecessary lights may be turned off by 11 p.m.
Okay. All right. And Leo Smith, you were my first guest ever on this show, and you really, you know, turned my lights on, so to speak, about all of this. And I follow you on Instagram, so I follow little by little. Occasionally, there are these remote islands, like one in Denmark, that become these dark sky paradises. How are we doing statewide, nationally, with the Lights Out movement? What do you think?
There has been tremendous increase in research over the last 25 years showing the adverse consequences of light pollution against the interests of people, animals, plants. And this has caused a tremendous increase in public awareness. We have been successful in Connecticut with state statutes that require that we control light pollution by shielding lights. We have a state building code amendment that went into effect in 2004. And we're looking to present additional building code amendment proposals in the coming months.
What would you like, Leo, what would you like to see, for example, a suburban community like Westport, Darien, New Canaan? I'll get to cities later. But what would you like to see a suburban community of, let's say, between 20 and 30,000 that has maybe a main street and commercial district? What would you like to see the code look like?
Well, one thing that could happen at the municipal level has to do with street lighting. And the issue has to do, first of all, whether you need the street light at all. But
true.
Even if you do need it,
true.
Do you need it on all night long? Or could you have controls in that street light that would say, for example, reduce the power in that street light by 75% starting at, say, 11 o'clock at night and then resuming full power at 5 in the morning, where you would have partial light, but not really full strength, because you don't really have that kind of traffic activity during those early morning hours that would require street lighting.
I think that's such obvious low-hanging fruit. It infuriates me when I go down the Post Road, and occasionally I'll come back from a dinner, even at 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. There's nothing going on. There's no openings. There's an occasional restaurant, and the thing is lit up like a Christmas tree, the whole Post Road. Drives me crazy.
And the whole thing is, if you take a look at residential, you talked about residential, take a look at all those residential streets that have street lighting, where the residential street rolls their sidewalks up at 10 o'clock at night. There's nobody out there. But those street lights stay on all night long. But there are controls available that would turn them off. As a matter of fact, in Connecticut, there is a special rate for street lights that turn off at midnight. You pay less money.
Interesting. So maybe that's the sell. Maybe that's it alone. Hello, you can save money.
Exactly. And not only save money, but save energy.
Exactly. That's right. I mean, it seems like such low-hanging fruit, frankly. You know, I mean, right now you've got storage facilities blaring their lights out with no blinds, no shading whatsoever. And I've got to look at a 6-story storage building with its lights on the way to me. And there's no people in the building. What are we doing?
Exactly. Exactly.
There seems to be, you know, because there's been so much, there's been increasing light pollution, you know, ever since basically street light technologies and then all of this outdoor with the emergence of LEDs, the night sky just keeps getting more and more illuminated. The studies are showing that in North America, lighting year-to-year increases is around 10%. It's a little over 10%. So the night sky is just getting brighter and brighter to the point where we don't even know what's normal anymore. So that's a problem, is that people are looking around and they can't see the night sky. They see all their neighbors' lights are on, all the lights are on in their town center, and they don't realize that there's another way that we could do it. That we could set just some basic limits to bring those light levels down, and that we could do that safely. We can do that while saving energy, while reducing carbon emissions that are associated with the energy, and also protecting wildlife. So I think the whole idea that we have to have a mental shift of what is a normal night sky, that really needs to happen, and to remind people of what the glory of the night sky is, that they don't get to see every night, you know, the beautiful starry sky and the constellations and things. So we have a lot to gain by coming back into a more moderate relationship with the night and the night sky.
You know, Meredith Bargess, you raise a very good point, because I think that night represents and darkness is very associated with fear, and that a lot of our legislation, particularly since 9/11, this is my own opinion, has been aimed at eradicating sometimes reasonable fear and sometimes irrational fears. And any time you talk to somebody about creating more darkness, you may have an extremely anxious person on the other end say, wait a minute, I'm allowing space for more criminality to appear. So when you hear that, Meredith, what's your response to people?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The studies show that even though we might feel safer with more lights on at night, it doesn't necessarily make us safer. Most crime actually occurs during the daytime. Even violent crimes happen during daytime. And more we're seeing crimes actually occurring online, you know, internet crime, rather than at people's home properties. So we have to kind of get out of this mindset that, oh, I'll leave on all my lights in my house and in my backyard, and that will make me safe. You know, like when property crimes are substantially lower than they were, and then they continue to be, you know, ways that you can actually install like a motion sensor to help if you're concerned about any kind of.
That's what I did.
That's the best way.
expensive.
That's really the way to do it. If you're mm-hmm. concerned at your own property about, you know, property crime, is to have a motion sensor that will alert you when there's a trespasser or someone arrives, rather than keeping all your lights on, which actually can come sometimes, in some cases, as they found, contribute to crime. So that's another thing, is that we have to reexamine what are the real risks. And there are even risks associated with all that light. And there are mostly human health impacts related to increased disease and other kinds of kind of longer term chronic illness that we think that we're leaving the lights on and we're going to be safer because of that. But we actually, in some cases, can be causing harm to ourselves and our environment. So we really have to reexamine why the lights are on and have that shift around safety, a perception of safety rather than a reality of safety.
I love this. I love this. And Leo Smith, tell me, I understand you're going to be introducing some municipal things here in Connecticut. What are the nuts and bolts? And to tell me a little bit about what you would like specifically our municipalities to pass.
Part of the main focus has to do with controls, where lights, for example, have to power out at least 75% of their power after 1 hour from the close of business. Right now,
That's
there
brilliant.
Are some regulations in place that require that the facade lighting has to go out 1 hour after the close of business, and the same for landscape lighting, 1 hour after the close of business. There's just so much wasted energy and so much that we have in the way of wasted light. It's just one of those things that we need to focus on. It's becoming more and more prominent on the scope of the International Building Code folks, where more and more is directed not so much at the light pollution itself as much as energy savings.
It's interesting the way you're talking about it. If you know, it's sort of like when we called something the death tax, and all of a sudden we went from 600,000 to 12 million after a while because people said, well, I don't want a death tax, right? So sometimes it's about getting to the same place, but with a language that is more sympathetic to more people.
Exactly.
And in terms of that, I love this idea of after the close of business. Why do we even allow so much neon? Why do we have so many purple signs and yellow signs and orange signs blaring in so many of our communities in Connecticut? They're very ugly. They're very ugly.
There's a lot of resistance from the sign industry. They don't want their hands tied. But at the same time, there are a significant number of municipalities that have started to adopt sign regulations that say, for example, if you're going to illuminate a sign, it has to be illuminated from the outside, and it has to be with lighting that's pointed straight down. It can't be with lighting that's on the ground pointed up.
Interesting. And it's very interesting what you said earlier, Leo Smith, about the effect on plants. Why don't we want our landscaping illuminated 24/7? What does it do to our plants?
It has a tremendously adverse effect on all types of plants. A good example I have in a slideshow shows a tree that's next to a street light that's on all night long. And it's probably taking place sometime in late October, early November, where the tree has leaves still clinging to the tree that are close to the street light, but all of the leaves on the other side of the tree, further away from the streetlight, have fallen off the tree. So there's a tremendous impact, even with insects. Insects are part of life cycle. They contribute to pollinators, which we need for food. And lighting at night has caused a very serious impact on the population of insects. How many fireflies do we see in the backyard today versus how many we saw when we were little kids? Not many.
And on that note, I'll start to sing a Joni Mitchell song in just a moment. On that note, I want to thank both of you for coming, Meredith Barges, as well as Leo Smith, and keep us apprised of what's going on Lights Out Connecticut. Do you have a particular bill that you're proposing this legislative season that you want us to know about?
We have several. We have several amendments that we're going to be proposing for the state building code. And something I just want to highlight really quickly is that we actually have pretty good rules around lighting at the state level in our state building code. The issue is that that regulates only new construction and major retrofits. So what do we do about all the existing lights? And that's really where our model municipal ordinance, and that can be adopted by towns and cities, it addresses existing buildings. So requiring things like no light trespass and setting stricter limits than what's at the state level, because it regulates existing buildings as well. So, but we're going to be making these proposals to amend the state building code to include things like a correlated light temperature, which will so that we don't have that bright, harsh, bluish light coming in, that will set a lower maximum light level for exterior lights that need to be shielded and downshielded, because right now a lot of lighting is exempted from needing to be downshielded. And then, like you mentioned before about landscape lighting, there's going to be two proposed amendments that will more closely regulate landscape lighting, because we think, you know, that's habitat. That's where birds live. That's where insects live. Those are trees. You know, they don't need to be lit up. Those are waterways. They don't need to be lit up like ponds. So it will put much more restrictions on landscape if they're accepted. What if they're adopted by the state building codes amendment subcommittee that's going to be reviewing them.
And where can we find the model municipal code that you are proposing? Where can people find it if they want to look at it?
It's on our website, lightsoutconnecticut.org. So it's lightsoutct.org. And you can find a link there to the model ordinance, and that's under review. So we're accepting people's suggestions. We're getting input from experts, and so that will be a resource that different towns and municipalities can turn to see what are best practices for both outdoor, mainly outdoor, but also indoor lighting at commercial and residential buildings. So they can go and look at that ordinance, and then it's kind of like a suite where you can kind of pick and choose. You can either do it wholesale or pick and choose what are the elements of this ordinance that make sense for your community. So people can find that model ordinance on our website.
Thank you so much, Meredith Barges, Leo Smith from lightsoutct.org. Thank you so much for joining us on the Lisa Wexler Show today.
Thank you, Lisa.
Pleasure.
Yeah,
we'll be right
so
back.
Much.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends. And as always, feel free to contact me at lisa@lisawexler.com.